Mr. Brandewee, if Mr. Hopkins is not asleep or left,
sorry,
if you want to see if you can find him.
That's pretty much what he said.
Oh, there he is. And we got out of here. Okay, the next item on the agenda is other business. Governor's conditional use 17.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could, excuse me.
Please leave quietly. We have a meeting still going on.
Some poor people sitting here all night.
Okay, Governor's conditional use 1772.
Actually, the first one would be Coastal Club Land Bay 2.
What the hell? Oh, we didn't have governors?
The governors come off?
We still have governors. We just had a revision.
Oh, we had a revision.
Sorry.
I have got the old agenda. Sorry. Okay. Coastal Club Land Bay 2. Sorry. Yeah, I've got the original agenda.
This is a final site plan for the creation of 82 duplex lots within the Coastal Club development. The preliminary plan for Coastal Club Land Bay 2 was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission on June 23, 2016. The final site plan is in compliance with Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is map 334, District 334, map 11, parcel 5.00, and is zoned MRRPC. Staff is in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Vice Chairman, in reference to Coastal Club Land Bay 2, I move that we approve the final site plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve as a final site plan the Coastal Club Land Bay 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The next item is Governor's conditional use 1772.
Mr. Vice Chair, in regard to Governor's CU 1772, is he supposed to be the Vice Chair or is he Chair now?
I'm temporarily the Chair, but that's
what
okay.
I thought.
I've been called a lot worse.
I was following your lead, Doug.
I've been called a lot worse than Vice Chair, I can tell you that.
Oh, man.
We're good.
The least we can do is let you be Chair for an hour. All right, let me start over again.
At your own risk. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Right.
In regard to Governor's CU 1772, I move for approval of the revised preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve as a revised preliminary site plan to Governor's conditional use 1772 with final by staff pending a receipt of state agency approvals. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. The next item is Selco Verizon Partnership, Redden Sandhill, Subdivision 1717.
Mr. Chair, in reference to Selco Partnership, Redden Sandhill, I move we grant preliminary site plan approval. I said I went way too far on that one, didn't I?
No, you're fine.
Second.
Final subject to
final
staff.
Final
staff. Upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Thank you, staff. Right. Yes, that what he said.
Okay. We've got a motion to grant preliminary site plan approval for Selco Verizon Partnership, Redden Sandhill, with final by staff pending receipt of all state agency approvals. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The next item is Light Hype Subdivision, RPC, change of zone 1768.
This is a application. They're seeking to amend a condition of approval. The change of zone application was recommended for approval with conditions on July 30th, 2015 by number 1768. Condition one of the ordinance restricted the maximum number of lots to 164 units, and that was to consist of 120 single family units and 44 townhouse units. This application seeks to adjust the units to 123 single family units and 41 townhouse units. They're simply increasing the single family and reducing the townhouse units. The overall number of units remains the same. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 17, Parcel 12, and it's zoned MRRPC.
Just for everybody's benefit on this, just kind of to point this one out, that condition originated at the Planning and Zoning Commission level. In that case, when it originates here at the commission level, the commission under the code has the authority to change it. If it was something that was part of the ordinance that was initiated at the council level, it would have to go back through the process and get changed as an ordinance amendment. So just to give you a little bit of background, that's why you all can change a condition of an ordinance.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, reference to Light Hype Subdivision, RPC, change of zone 1768. I move to approve the amendment of the condition of approval.
And that would be so that the total units would remain the same, but you'd have 123 single and 41 townhouse units. Okay, we have a motion to approve the Light Height Subdivision RPC, change of zone 1768, with the amended condition being that the number of units will stay the same, but the mixture would be 123 single and 41 townhouse units. All in favor, please.
Can I second it?
Yep, sorry. Sorry, Mr. Hopkins, or Ms. Stevenson, whichever one, which one of you did it, Mr. Hopkins? We have a motion and second as read. Sorry about that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. This is 1768.
Yeah, one was the condition of approval. The next one was the preliminary site plan.
Yeah, this is just, okay. This is a Light Hype Subdivision, RPC, changes on 1768 for a preliminary site plan.
As a follow-up to the condition of approval change, they're requesting preliminary site plan approval for the construction of 123 single-family lots and 41 townhouse lots on 49.66 acres to be located off of Muddy Neck Road or Route 361 off via Beach Club Avenue in Ocean View. The change of zone application was recommended for approval with conditions on July 30th. The tax parcel was 134-17, parcel 12, and it is zoned MRRPC. Staff is in receipt of agency approvals. That's the mailing address, Ocean View. It's not in Ocean View.
This one, since the staff has all agency approvals, it could be a preliminary and a final. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the Light Hype Subdivision, RPC, and with the change of zone 1768, I would move that we approve this as a preliminary and a final site plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the preliminary as a preliminary and final site plan for Light Hype Subdivision RPC, change of zone 1768. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item is Osprey Point RPC, change of zone 1759.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 217 single-family lots on 132.31 acres to be located off Old Landing Road, Route 274. The change of zone application was recommended for approval with conditions on June 23rd, 2016, per number 1759. Tax parcel is District 334, Map 18, Parcel 83, and it is zoned MRRPC. We are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to Osprey Point, change of zone 1759, I move for approval of preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Yeah, you can't do that, right?
Can't do
that. Yeah, just as good because it's an RPC.
The final just has to come back to the commission.
Oh, it's an RPC.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I move for preliminary on approval, preliminary site plan with final approval subject to the Planning and Zoning Commission upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Okay.
Seconded.
Sorry about that.
We have a motion and a second to grant preliminary approval of the preliminary site plan for Osprey Point RPC, change of zone 1759. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We did some requests. The next one is Kenneth and Catlin Daisy.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one parcel of land off of an existing 50-foot easement and a lot line adjustment to configure two existing parcels. Parcel 1A, lot 1A, will contain 26.76 acres and has existing frontage on Sandhill Road. Proposed lot 3 will contain 8.75 acres. The residual lot 2A will contain 35.46 acres. The existing easement will provide access to parcels 2A and 3, and the maintenance of the road should be shared by the property owners of Lot 2A and 3. The property is zoned GR. The tax parcel is District 333, Map 11, Parcel 337 and 337.1, and staff is awaiting approvals, agency approvals. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, in reference to Kenneth and Caitlin Daisy, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to grant approval for the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for Kenneth and Caitlin Daisy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And the last item is for Barbara Hammond.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one new parcel off of land off an existing 50-foot easement. The parcel will contain 1 acre. The residual will contain 71.04 acres. The maintenance of the road should be shared by the property owners of the residual and the new lot, and then an existing lot one. The property is zoned AR1. The tax map is District 130, Map 6, Parcel 113.02. It's a portion of, and staff is waiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for Barbara Hammond with final by staff upon receipt of all state agency approvals. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. See no members of the public here to talk about the comprehensive plan. Do you want to finish up the Connie? She says she can't talk because she's an observer. Connie, you're here. You're here. But her lips are sealed. Yes. Yeah, for the record, Connie's here. I don't know. Would you like to go ahead and do the public hearings and then come back and finish up with the comp plan, or you want to do the comp plan first?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, we get this stuff and then we can back up while we talk. The first public hearing was the change of zone 1816 for Bruce Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for the change of zone number 1816 for Bruce Fisher for change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. This site is along Route 13 at the intersection of Camp Road. It is a triangle-shaped piece of property bounded on one side by Route 13 and the other side by Camp Road. This is an appropriate location for CR1 zoning. The site is in an area of Route 13 where other commercial and industrial zonings exist. It is also very near the boundary of the town of Bridgeville. This is an appropriate location for CR1 zoning. The rezoning to CR1 in this location will not have an adverse impact on adjacent roads, properties, communities, community facilities, or the neighborhood in general. The rezoning meets the purpose of the zoning code in that it promotes orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. The rezoning is in compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which states that CR1 zoning is one of the several appropriate zoning classifications for this location. Also, there are no parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to recommend approval of change of zone 1816 Bruce Fisher for the reasons stated. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Mr. Hudson, if you could just pass that down to Ms. Walls or somebody just so they have it.
The next item was change of zone 1818 Ocean Highway LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I, in regard to CZ 1818 Ocean Highway LLC,
just go ahead and defer it for further consideration. That's like
I'd like to defer it for further consideration.
Yeah.
Second.
We have a motion for deferral for the change in zone 1818 Ocean Highway LLC. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
That won't hold them up because you'll get acted on before they even go to council. So they're still waiting on a council hearing anyway, so it won't make any difference in the outcome.
Okay, the next item is conditional use number 2071, Blessing Greenhouses and Compost.
Oh, I think we should definitely move on. No, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Mike Johnson, the second.
Yeah, right. Well, is there any discussion on that one before? You know, I know you're going to move to defer it, but there was talk about holding the record open. I will tell you my thought on it is, to some extent, we've got to think through. They're sort of.
What are we going to ask for?
Yeah, and they're sort of stuck, you know? I mean, so they're in violation, I guess, so there's issues out there. I don't want to say they're in violation. And it sounds like, on the one hand, what they've asked for is a path forward, you know, to make it right. But there's also concerns about, you know, what needs to happen before they can even make it right, I guess, you know, with what's there now. I don't know.
So how legally are we supposed to consider this? Are we supposed to consider it as this is all new and this guy's coming up with a plan, a new plan, or are we supposed to look back and go?
Well, it's like Mr. Ross had said, and somebody else too, I think maybe Mr. Wheatley before he left, it's a land use decision ultimately. So what it comes down to is whether you think, you know, it's appropriate for that operation to exist there. And then I guess if you would say so, you can take into account what conditions you might want to impose on it that he has to clean up or do before he can move forward with what he's asked for. I mean, there's a lot kind of involved in it.
The hard part is, how do you force what we decide to happen? You know, we don't hold the bond. DENREC,
yeah,
apparently, if there is one, holds it. And so I think that's a great question. It'd be nice to know the status from DENREC. I think given the considerable testimony that conflicting testimony, and it's just not our expertise to understand whether the creek's polluted or not polluted, or whether the wetland thing they pitched is going to be accepted or not. You know, their stormwater management.
Yeah.
And also on the cleanup, I mean, was that description correct? That, you know, the reason he got the consent decree was to basically clean the place up. And maybe this is step two in that process, but maybe the testimony is right. Maybe we need to let step one occur,
yeah,
if that's the case. So I don't know exactly what we should be asking from DENREC, but I think we probably need some input from DENREC.
Yeah, you know, because on the one hand, you could say, well, you know, one of the conditions of approval that even was proffered is that they'd have to comply with all DENREC permits, but it seems like we don't have a clear understanding of DENREC right now, let alone future permits.
We have some expertise on the commission here that might tell us how to word a request from DENREC. Yeah.
I think that asking the staff from the Division of Water, from the Surface Water Discharges section in the NPDES program, which is the staff that was mentioned in the emails, would be a good idea. They have significant history with this facility.
So that's that. As far as who we asked,
that's
right?
Who it's you like, would need to ask.
That was going to be my question: is, you know, sending a letter to the Secretary of DENREC is not going to help us. You know, who's the person? We
right.
Need to ask.
I think that Mr. Ashby, Mr. Churchill, and there are others above there.
And they're all in the record, so.
Exactly. Yeah. They would, like as I said, they do have significant history with the permitting of this facility and the enforcement of permits and violations and so on and so forth that were mentioned earlier tonight. So
I would like to know from them, too, is right now, what's DENREC, as they look at it, what's it standing right now? Are they in compliance with the consent decrees, you know, or not? You know, I guess that.
And I don't know, I certainly don't know the status, but I can say just, you know, as a former staff member of DENREC, that, you know, typically the path forward, particularly in a case was to work with the violator and try to resolve the issue, not.
Right.
To just,
well, that's the same approach we would have, is to try to bring them into compliance.
So,
you know, that's always.
So, and that's the intent of the consent decree, and it, you know, and it has been, you know, that's the path they take. So,
and that's sort of, when you look at what was in their exhibits, that looked like how it was tracking forward. There was a consent decree, and then it looked like they had done a lot of what was in the consent decree, and there was an issue, one of the more recent letters was an issue that said, well, you've done this and this and this, you still have to do these two things, you know. So I'd kind of like to know, I think to your point, is where they stand right now.
Yeah, where they stand, you know, on complying with the consent decree. Are they up with it or not? And then we need to ask the questions about the stormwater management, since it is new and different.
They were talking about this gravel wetland, and I'll admit, I worked with the stormwater program. I've been very heavily involved in best management practices and review and not initially approval, but review of them. And I've heard of constructed wetlands, I've heard of bioretention, I've heard of all of these other things. Tonight was the first night I've seen this particular practice that they mentioned. And I started to look for it. And, there's some potentially credible sources out there and approvals. But I just thought it was interesting that in my involvement in the last 13 years in Delaware, stormwater management, BMPs, I've never seen this one come up. So not to say that it doesn't do what they say it does. It's just that it hasn't been widely used in the state. And the question that was brought up is this the right use for that particular, and I don't know that, but I think it's worth evaluating the question or at least, hearing from the Sussex Conservation District and whether or not they have approved their stormwater management plan, because, they would
probably not. Yeah,
they haven't seen it. And that's the question, if they say, well, no, then what is the alternative on that site? I mean, will it fit and will it work and all that kind of stuff? That's a site plan issue. So
right, that's what I was going
to
say.
That's not really a reason not to, but it still would be something to try to understand.
And absolutely, I mean, like if it got approved, it'd be conditioned on Conservation District approval and DENREC for stormwater management. Because I honestly, that one question was interesting that I didn't think of, is that it seems like for that type of stormwater, I mean, it doesn't matter. The Conservation District's going to tell them what works or not, and they can't do it if it doesn't work, but a parking lot seemed to me a different type of application for that than something that has a lot of silt on it, I mean, it just seemed like...
Well, I mean, that big pile is supposed to go away.
Right.
And it hasn't, and that's a problem. And I guess that's why you have the consent order and all that. So the circumstances would change dramatically. Yes? The circumstances would change dramatically if the consent order was carried out.
Yeah, right.
That would be a totally different situation.
Yeah.
So I guess if we made that request, we left the record open for that. Typically, we would leave the record open for public comment, but in this particular situation, I'm not so sure that's the case. We're just asking for facts from the department. It's not going to change the facts whether we have an opinion one way or the other from the applicant or the public. I just don't know if it's appropriate to leave the record open at this juncture. Ask for the information. When it comes back, then we can put it
just
on.
Just report it, and that's it, yeah.
Is that okay?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
We also find out about that tank that she said she wanted. The one person said we should make a requirement that they remove and destroy the tank. I mean, if that's something that needs to be there, I don't want to make it.
You call it a gizmo.
There is another facility in the state that's doing composting.
It's two. There's two in Sussex, Blue Hen and Chesapeake Agrisoil.
Right, yeah. So... for whatever. I mean, I had reviewed the Chesapeake project as part of my DENREC responsibilities, and they have a very, I'm going to say, similar type process, I think. So it may be, there's the sites may be different, but it may be worth at least looking at their plan to see what type of practices they're.
Yeah, I want to be careful that if we do that, then we're outside of the record on this one.
Right, and I don't know if it's appropriate to do that, but as
probably
a...
probably not. Because,
as a precedent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we certainly DENREC, look at the...
If DENREC would throw something out there, that's up to them. We can't tell them how to respond to our request.
Yeah.
In a general sense, when I rode by the project just a day or two ago, I mean, it was a cold day, but... My immediate impression was not good, I can tell you that, and so I just don't know. That's why I asked about the violations, what's the track record? It is a land use decision, so maybe that doesn't play too big a role. Who do we have? Ms. Stevenson, would you like to make a motion to leave the record open, defer and leave the record open for correspondence with DENREC? And
yes. What he just said, I would like to make a motion that we defer on this and leave the record open for correspondence with DENREC.
I think you should limit it, though, to, so it's not, we'll get into trouble if we're just leaving it open for correspondence with DENREC, specific to the question about
compliance with the consent decree.
Compliance with the consent decree and the stormwater management.
Yeah.
Since it's so unique.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay. And maybe Ms. Walls can draft that letter since she's so familiar with who to draft it to. That's up to you, Jeff.
We'll take care of it.
Yeah. Who's special? We got 3 seconds?
Absolutely.
Not me.
We got Mr. Hudson. We got a motion by Ms. Stevenson, a second by Mr. Hudson, to defer action and leave the record open for correspondence with DENREC regarding the consent decree or the consent order and the stormwater management on the application. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. It motion carries. Okay. Comp plan.
Doing that. I saw you walk around. These people are talking to us. It's very serious, and I'm seeing you walk out there, and I'm getting tickled. I'm like, they're going to think I'm laughing at them.
I couldn't look up.
If I would have just grabbed these when I left, you wouldn't have seen me for that little bit. I
was just sitting. There's a meeting next Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, beginning 11 o'clock in the morning, to discuss the land use chapter. It's tentative from 11 to 5 for next week with public comment, the first 30 minutes and the last 30 minutes.
Oh, Wednesday's this coming.
The 29th.
29th. 11 to 5.
Well, just do the planning and zoning meeting right after that, then.
Forget there isn't one Thursday.
There is not one next week, and then the next one will be in April. Regular planning commission meeting.
So we said that's at 11, yeah.
And I know we are working with IT to get GIS on the computer down here.
Yeah, that would be great. It's that could be a lot of fun, actually. I'm not so sure we went back to my comp plan and PNZ meetings. Once I sit on my brain for about 3 or 4 hours, I quit thinking. Anything
You'll
else?
Play golf next Thursday.
Anything else for the commission?
Oh, there was a handout. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background on this. The impact of community study. I don't know where it came from. You all.
Somebody, League of Women Voters, had a meeting last night, and I sat in the back of the room and tried to listen, and some lady gave it to me, and
so these were done by Sussex County. Just a little bit of background, Marty will remember this. Our consent decree with HUD required on the Diamond Strait Community Land Trust case, one of the things was to do an impacted community study. So our community development and housing department put this together. It's impacted communities are actually a HUD designation, and there's several of them in Sussex County. This actually, I think, will be helpful when we get to the housing element on the comp plan. So it talks about some of the, when we talk about impacted communities, those are communities that, you know, have lower income levels, and it talks about some of the housing needs or the issues that they deal with, and there's some census information, things like that. So it's a good snapshot that, like I said, it really will help. And make sure McCormick and Taylor has this. I think they might
already
have
it.
Because it really ties into the housing and housing needs. And when I'm talking about housing, I'm not talking about development. It's like housing standards, you know. So
We have some great people in our affordable housing, Brad and
Brandy.
And Brandy are just terrific and work extremely hard. So if you're not up to speed on affordable housing, you might give them a conversation. Yeah.
It's a good document. I mean, as far as like snapshot wise of what we have,
I've only got through
eye opening. I will say that too.
Dozen pages of it, but there's a lot of really good information in there. So
that's anyway. That's the background on that.
All right. Anything else? Hearing none. This meeting is adjourned.